You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey. Welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Welcome. It's the first week in December. So glad you're here. So glad that you took some time out to be with me. I've got a wonderful guest today. His name is Tony Child. He is a president of Elevated Worldwide. He has an amazing message that he takes to everyone. He has stepped into his highest self. He teaches us all how to be connected to Source, and he uses it with a very simple concept of gratitude. And it's something we all say every day. We think we're writing our gratitudes, but he takes it to a whole nother level. He has helped me in my programs that I teach, and he has helped so many people. He was a top consultant for Bob Proctor in his inner circle. He is a keynote speaker to thousands of people, has taken his message, and he is such a high achiever, but a high energy person that is so authentic and kind and will make you understand the process that you need to go to manifest that life of your dreams using the law of attraction, using all the natural laws of the universe. So I'm very pleased that I was able to have Tony on this week. It's a perfect week to have him, and we will be right back with Tony Child. And we are back with Tony Child. Tony is one of my dearest friends. I've known him for years. He's a Bob Proctor consultant, but he has exploded from there. He has his own company, Elevated Worldwide, that is taking his message of gratitude and appreciation and inspiration and transformation to the world. So, Tony, welcome. I am so thrilled that you were joining me today.
Thank you, Paula. I am so excited to be here, and you are one of my dearest friends. So this is awesome.
Well, the energy that everybody's going to be feeling when they're listening to this is going to be amazing. So we kind of started our journey together, at least with the Bob Proctor thing. We were both in the inner circle, like almost immediately. We were friends of Bob's, been to his home. But what I would like to do is I want you to get to your message, because it says that you are an expert on gratitude. And I love that, because I think you and I both know that's the foundation of everything. But before we get into what your message and what you're doing now, because I want everybody at home to know what he's doing now is just blowing people's minds and roofs off of people's ideas and belief systems. And we're going to get into that. Before we do, I really want you to tell us about your journey on how you got here, because you were a pretty boring
banker. You can say that word.
Right? Woohoo! The BB, a boring banker before you really got into this.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think that you and I both were searching for something, but I was a divorce attorney before I transitioned over to this, and you were a banker. So tell us kind of about that journey, how you got from that, you know, 9-to-5 rigid job, which I know you did wonderfully, to kind of how you transitioned over to this.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I believed that banking was my life. Like when I got into banking, it's like, okay, this is a great career. This is something I want to retire to, retire from. And it's fascinating, because the most that I could think in my brain, like the highest I could think of, was that I would make $150,000 a year. And that would be amazing if I were to be able to retire one day making $150,000 a year, that I would have hit the jackpot. If anyone would have come to me and told me, hey, Tony, what about $1 million? Could you do $1 million a year? It would have, like, that couldn't even enter my brain as a possibility. Mm-hmm. And so I've often shared this, and I'll share it with you, because I think it's super important. I think that there's three types of people, Paula. The first type of person, I believe, are those that have jobs. And it's merely a means to an end. They've got bills to pay. And so they get the job to be able to get the money and to be able to pay the bills, to be able to survive another day. Mm-hmm. And life at that level is all about survival. It's all about, how do I just get my next meal? How do I get my next, you know, whatever it might be, my next mortgage payment? How do I pay for that? And they have jobs and they hate them. They don't like them, but it's the necessary evil is what I hear, that mm-hmm. I got to go to my job to pay for my bills. And I've had a lot of jobs. I'll be honest. I've worked at, I started at 15 years old working at Nice Burger King. You know, that was my first job. I've had jobs at the country club as a server. I've had jobs as a teller in the banking world. I was just going to be a teller. That's all I was going to be. And then I think there's a second phase to people. And that's when they finally find a career. Mm. And for me, I had that career and I loved it. I genuinely loved my career. I loved the people I worked with. I wasn't in love with the banking world. Like I didn't love all the numbers and, you know, loans and deposits and all of those things, interest
rates. Which is what,
like,
banking is, Tony, but
yes. But I did love, like, I'm really good at math. And so when I was younger, my parents and my teachers and my coaches, they would all tell me, Tony, you need to go into something with math. And so for me, I was like, all right, well, banking, that's math. I can make good money at it. And I was six figures, so it was fine. It was great. But there was something in me. Mm-hmm. And I could never put my finger on it ever. But it was a calling. And that's the third type of people, the people that find their calling in life. And so this calling was calling after me, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like this, like, I know that there's something more for me out there. And I felt it, but I felt like this stuckness, that I'm stuck here in the bank and I don't know how to find what I'm truly born to do. And so when I was in the banking world, they would send me around to different branches and regions, and I would train. And anytime I got the opportunity to train, I was on fire. And so it's like, all right, I love to be up in front of people and I love to be inspiring and sharing messages of inspiration with people. That's what I want to be doing. And I thought that I would just be doing that in the bank. So I started looking at, like, jobs where I could speak more often. And it wasn't until I attended over a decade ago, there was a Power of Positivity workshop that the bank sent me to. And it was this brand new industry or this brand new subject in college. I forget the subjects, whatever they call those in college, but it was positive psychology.
Majors?
Yeah, one of the majors in college, positive psychology. And I was like, oh man, what is this? So I went to my first positive psychology course over a decade ago. And the first thing the person said was, if you change the way you think, you can change anything in your life. I remember, Paula, I nudged my boss and I'm like, can I leave? That's so stupid. And she's like, if you want to get fired, you'll leave. And so I was like, all right, I'll stay. And the next 3 hours, it changed my life.
Yes.
It changed my life. Cause now it's like, I was blown away at the power of the brain, the power of the mind, positive psychology, changing from negative or neutral to positive and what that will do. I changed everything from that moment on. I changed my degrees in college. I was getting finance degrees and MBAs and changed those to communications, positive psychology degrees. I started hiring the very best in the world to teach me, John C. Maxwell. From John Maxwell, that's how I got to know Bob Proctor, and that's how you and I met. Mm-hmm. And I started getting all this knowledge and thought, okay, I'm going to bring this back to the banking world. Again, I just had these, like, glass ceilings, these limits that I placed on myself of, like, all right, I'll just teach this in the banking world, because no one in the world wants to hear Tony's version of this. And so I put limits on myself. And as you
which
know,
we all do, right?
Because we all do,
it's our conditioning,
right?
It's our belief system, right?
Yeah. And so I placed all these limits on myself of, like, all right, well, if I could just take all the stuff that I'm learning from Bob and John and all of these studies in Harvard and Stanford, I'll create nice trainings in the banking world and we'll do very fine there. And that just was not satisfying anymore. One of the things that I loved that John Maxwell has taught is, once you taste of significance, success will never satisfy.
Oh, I love that.
And I had tasted of significance, and the successes that I was getting in the bank, they never satisfied from that moment on. I knew that this was what I was born to do, teach and coach and train and speak on the mind and positive psychology and how the brain works. And I fell in love with Bob and became one of his consultants, became one of his top consultants. And then I just found that there were gaps in what I was learning, because I was also studying at Stanford and Yale and Harvard and positive psychology. And I thought, man, there's some gaps here that are just not being addressed. And so I wanted to address those. I truly feel like people can go through whole transformation and that it doesn't have to be hard or guessed at. And so that's what I've based my company around. So I started my company in 2014, started doing it full time in 2016. And so I've been doing it now for almost 5 years. And it's been a journey in and of itself. Starting my own company, doing my own curriculum, creating my own processes and procedures, but it's been a huge blessing to watch people change and transform. So that's the Reader's Digest version of my journey.
I want you to tell us about. Because so many people go, I hear the journey. Okay, he was brave enough to go on that journey. But there were times when you took a quantum leap, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I love the story when you decided you were going to quit your business, your BBBs. But even though it was secure, because you and I both know there's this tug and this yearning in our hearts that we aren't satisfied unless we're doing that passion. And you decided to take that quantum leap. So tell us about that, because people need to understand there is courage.
Yeah.
Evolved to be able to go after the third one, which is passion. Is that what you said the third one was?
Calling.
Calling.
You got your job, you got your career, and then you got your calling. Got your
calling. So tell us about that story, because you decided to transition.
Yeah. So I made a decision in 2016, at the beginning of 2016, after I met Bob, that I was gonna earn enough to be able to transition out of the bank. And so I talked to my wife, and my wife, being very risk adverse, said, okay, Tony, that's fine, but you must have an annual salary in the bank before you quit. I was like, all right. So I'm like, all right, so here's what I got to do. So I started making and doing coaching people overseas. I started coaching people at night, on the weekends, like using Bob's curriculum, his philosophies. And within 1 year, in the whole year of 2016, I had saved up a whole annual salary. And I had visualized this day, because obviously we learn about the power of visualization. I had visualized myself sitting in my armchair and turning my computer screen around and showing my wife the amount in the bank account and having her smile and say, okay, it's time, you know. And I had visualized this day like over and over and over again. So it was the day after Thanksgiving, 2016, I turned my computer screen around and there it is.
Ooh.
Full amount. And she says, when are you going to quit? And I had this like excitement, but massive fear at the same time.
Yes.
It's like, now it's real. Like, you know, what if I fail? And what if this doesn't work? And what if everything that I just did doesn't work when I get doing it full time? Like all of these doubts that come in. And so it took me 2 weeks. This was the day after Thanksgiving. It took me 2 weeks. It was mid-December before I took my letter of resignation in. And I walk into my boss.
And that would have been 4 years ago, right? That would have been 4 years ago.
This was 2016, December 2016. I've got my letter in my hand and I'm walking into his office and he can see the piece of paper in my hand. And he said, Tony, is that what I think it is? Is that your letter of resignation? I'm like, who the heck told him? You know, and I'm sitting there in my brain like, what's going on? And I had this like overwhelming feeling. It wasn't fear. It was intuition. Now I know it was intuition. It was this overwhelming feeling. Put the letter away. So I took the letter and I put it in my coat pocket. I tucked it in and I said, no, I can talk to you about this later. What's going on? He said, well, take a seat. So I sit down and he said, Tony, I'm sorry to let you know this, but we have to eliminate your job today. Now, we've got other positions in the bank that you can apply for, and we'll try and get you in those other positions, or you can take 8 month severance.
I love this story. Yes.
And walk. I literally dropped to my knees and cried like a baby.
Aww.
And he thought I was crying because I was so scared. I was crying because I was so freaking excited. I was like, are you kidding me? You can't make this stuff up.
No. No, when you're connected to source, right?
You can't make this stuff up. Can't make this stuff up. So at that moment, I got up and I said, nope, I'm taking the severance. And I walked out. And the end of the last day of 2016 was my last day at the bank. And I had 8 months runway before
If you had resigned, you would not have gotten the 8 months
severance. Yeah, that was the point. He said, Tony, because that's what he told me. He said, oh man, I'm so glad that wasn't your letter, because if it was, I wouldn't be able to give you severance.
Right.
That's what he shared with me. Because if I quit, then that's a whole different subject, as if they were to, you know, eliminate my job.
Right.
Now, by law, they're required to give me severance. So he couldn't share it with me. He couldn't say like, hey, don't give me that, you know. He had to ask me, and I had that overwhelming intuitive feeling of put the thing away. and we can mistake that sometimes for fear, like, oh man, I got to just move through the fear. And there's a difference between fear and intuition.
And tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that fear is the only way that I can explain this is when you've got a rigid way of thinking and you've got this new idea that you want to go after, and you go after this new idea, it just causes this massive friction. And we title that fear. And so it wasn't like I was doing it. Like, I was ready to do it. I was ready to bring in my letter. So I knew that it wasn't fear because I was doing it. I was ready to overcome it. But then it was this overwhelming feeling of, okay, you've proven that you would do it. Now put it away. and that's the feeling that I got. And so I just feel like there's major differences between, you know, intuition and fear.
And intuition feels like faith, right? You feel something, yeah. and there's a faith there that it's going to be okay, as opposed to fear stopping you. So faith can stop us from doing certain things because our intuition is telling us that. And also fear can stop us from doing things. And we've all been stopped by fear. So if people are stopped by fear, don't think that that's the end of the journey. Just know that you know, when you get to the point that your faith, your intuition is telling you to take that next big leap, it is scary. But when you do it, it's totally worthwhile. So then just a little bit more about that story. You were looking for a place to have your new venture, right?
Yes.
Wanted it to be professional. You're in Salt Lake City. So then something very, you know, coincidental, and wink, wink. As we all know, there's no such thing as coincidences. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So part of visualizing for me is to physically put myself in a position. So if you're going to visualize yourself in a brand new car, the fastest way to get that brand new car is to actually drive your butt down to the dealership and go sit in the car and take pictures and drive it and test it, like go do it and watch how fast the universe will come to help you. Like, so if you want to buy your mansion home, go start looking at mansions homes, start going around and sitting in the chairs and imagining yourself in that home, like actually put your physical being in the place. And so for me, it was like part of me visualizing myself being out of the bank was putting myself in an office that was not in the bank. And so every day there was this office that was down in the corner. It overlooked all of Provo. It's beautiful corner office up on the fourth floor. It overlooked everything, had this big old balcony, and every day it was empty. So the previous tenants had vacated it. The bank owned it and nobody was going into it. So every day I'd go down and I'd unlock the door and I'd go into the main office and I'd sit in that chair and I'd put my feet up and I'd imagine that was my office, and I would look over all of Provo, and then I would have my lunch there. This was my lunch place. Every day I would have lunch in that office, and then I would get my lunch and I'd go back and I'd lock the door back up. And every day I would walk down there and I would visualize myself in that office. So the day now comes, this is mid-December 2016. He has this conversation with me, and now it's like, all right, this is real. I'm going to now start this company. And so, as you mentioned, my first thought was I got to have an office space, and why not the office that I've been sitting in? Why not that office that I've been going down to every day? So I walk into my boss's office and I said, hey, like, how much is the bank leasing that office down at the end of the hallway for? And he said, oh, Tony, like it's several thousand. You're looking at least $3,000 to $5,000 for the whole office per month. I was like, well, I ain't paying that. And so I said, well, I'd like to lease it, but I'm not willing to pay that. Can you call property management and see if they'd work a deal for me? He said, Tony, I love you. You're great, but they're never going to do a deal for you. They just won't do it. They've never done them before. They won't do them now. So I don't know what you're like, just not going to happen.
What you're smoking.
Yeah. What you're smoking. And it's like, they're not going to do it. And so I said, can we just try? He said, yeah, I'll call. So he calls up property management. He's like, hey, you know, we got this employee. We just let him go. He's starting a new business. He wants to lease the office space at the end of the hallway. We haven't leased it out for the last 7 months, 8 months. What can we do for him? Is there anything we can do? Or is it just the standard rates? No joke. Person on the other line. That's great that he's starting a new business. We should do all we can to help him. What do you think we should do to be able to help him? This is the question that's now asked to my boss. What do you think we should do to help him? And so his answer was, well, I would just like utilities. Can we just get the utilities from him? He's like, that's a great idea. That's awesome. Paula, for 9 months, I paid $473 a month for that $5,000 a month office space. It had three offices. It had a conference room, a break room. It was class A space. For 9 months, I had that until, you know, the agreement was that they could boot me out at any point in time when they needed it. So they needed it. So they gave me a 60-day window to get my butt out of there. But I mean, that massively boosted my company to get it off the feet, get it off the ground.
Yeah. I love that story. And you know, you don't know how to manifest that. You just take that one step, right?
Yeah.
Take the one step in faith, and then another step's going to appear. And we just have to keep doing that, you know, until we get farther down the road. So in the last 3 years, 4 years, you have put together your own program, which I have taken. I'm certified in. I teach also. I love it. And I will say that a lot of the things that everybody teaches are the same foundational levels, right? It's the belief system and our paradigms and our conditioning. You and I too have a completely different take on how we start out. Yeah. And I love how you do. And it's based on gratitude. And I would love for you to share with our listeners, you know, how they go about initially to start this process, because it's magical. But all of those who have taken personal development programs and have done all this stuff and go, yeah, well, this shit's not working.
Yeah.
Because you do what they tell you to. Here's the deal. You're not in that vibration that you need to be to actually ignite the magic. So tell us how your program is different.
So do you mind if I tell you how it was born? Would that be
okay? I would love that. Yes, I would love that.
So this happened when you and I, we would facilitate an event. It was called The Matrix. It was for Bob Proctor. Remember facilitating those events, right?
Yes.
So we would go.
It was a big deal for us to facilitate him. It was a big deal. We were asked to do that.
So, yeah. We were one of the select few that were at the very top of his organization that he would choose to come in and facilitate these events. So I facilitated 8 or 9 of them. I know you did a lot more than I did. And every single time we would facilitate these events, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw it where he would fill a room with 100 to 110 people. And these are not like just less than average people. I mean, the people to get in that room had to pay $15,000 to get in that room.
So, these are high-end, high achievers already.
Yeah. They were high-end, high achievers already to just get in the room.
Right.
And Bob would sit up on stage and he would say, okay, what do you want? You can have anything you want. You can dream. You can think big. What do you want? Let's think really big. And what I found is that as I was facilitating the tables, like 8 out of 10 people, it was pulling teeth to get them to dream, to get them to think bigger than they were currently thinking. I just couldn't pull it out of them.
Right. I remember that. Right.
And you know, there was probably a good 20%, 2 out of the 10 that boom, they had it. Like they were able to write it down. It was really easy. It was really simple. But for the whole week, it was like pulling teeth to get people to dream.
They're afraid to dream big. And when they did, they'd write down not that anybody's dreams are bad, but they'd write down very small versions of what they thought they could accomplish, how they knew how to do it. They were the type B goals.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So they were just really small or, you know, incrementally bigger from where they were right now. And I knew it was like, there's something here because it shouldn't take, you know, 20%, they can just get it. And the 80%, like it's pulling teeth to get it.
Right.
And here's something else that I found that the 80% that left we actually did more damage than good because they did nothing with their goals. So it frustrated the heck out of them that right. they got this big dream, this big goal, and then they'd go home and they do absolutely nothing with it. Right. And it would just frustrate them. So I knew it was like, all right, there's something missing here. There's a missing right. component. And as a man of faith, one day I just knelt down and was like, okay, God, like, if there's one thing that I'm going to teach people that could transform their life, that could open them up to their dreams and inspirations, what would I teach them? What is it? And the answer came to me, and it was so simple that I literally laughed out loud, Paula. I laughed out loud. And the answer was, teach people how to be grateful. I laughed out loud. I was like, and then I had a thought in my head. And the thought was, well, I'm grateful. And at that moment, when I thought, well, I'm grateful, it was like that frying pan over the head moment with God. Right. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not grateful. And so my next question, it opened up the next 2 years of research for me. And that is, what does it mean to be grateful? What does it mean to be grateful? And that's when everything transformed to me, because I really started diving into the power of gratitude. And here's what it is. It's the shift from lack or scarcity to abundance.
I love that. And it's words. When you say them, it's words, but it is the most significant vibrational frequency change that you could make, because we all live in lack and scarcity, right?
Yeah.
I mean, competition is lack and scarcity,
yes.
because only one person can win.
Comparison is
going to a job and getting a paycheck is, because they're, you know, our income comes through our employer, right? It doesn't come from our employer. It comes from source.
Yes.
And we don't understand that. And when we can make that switch to abundance, I mean, and it's brilliant, right? And that's the basis of everything. It's brilliant that you've put this into your program.
Yeah. And thank you, by the way. I it's not me. This came from something greater than me,
source,
right?
It's God. I know.
It comes from
that's
God.
That's where we all need to be right that, now, that, as close as we can.
But here's what I found. Somebody that's stuck in a lens that there's not enough. I don't have enough love in my life. There's not enough time in the day, not enough hours to get everything done. I don't have enough money in my bank account. I can't afford that. There's not enough health in my body. I can't run that marathon. Heck, I can't even bend down before breaking my back to get back up. Like, there's so many people that their words, they are in massive lack.
Mm-hmm.
And what it stems from is a person looking in the mirror and seeing someone who's not enough. They see someone not smart enough, not pretty enough, not a big enough expert, not a good influencer enough.
Those are all lies.
Yeah,
those
not
are
rich
all
enough.
Lies.
They're all lies.
They're all lies.
But if we believe the lie, then our brains literally get capped. There's limits that are placed there. So because I live in limits, that's all scarcity is, it's limits, then this is why people couldn't dream. So we were sitting with 80% of the people that were stuck in lack trying to dream, and they couldn't. Their brains couldn't go there. And so they would get home, and we didn't solve their lack problem. We just gave them a big ass vision that they had no freaking clue what they were supposed to do with.
And there was more lack, right?
Yes.
There was this, you know, hope held out to them, and then they didn't have it. So they even feel more scarcity when they went home.
Yeah. Like, I'm a bigger failure now. Cause now I know,
right.
Now I have the knowledge, and now I'm a bigger failure cause I can't manifest it. And this is the biggest problem with the personal development industry,
yes.
is we get massive motivators that motivate the heck out of people. And they go home with these big dreams and these big goals, and they're still stuck in lack. And then they can't manifest, and they don't know why. And so the 30-day program that I created is 30 days called Gratishift. And it's 30 days of moving a person systematically from lack to abundance using neural pathway change, repetition of words, listening and reading out loud. And it's all neural pathway change and awareness of, am I stuck in lack? And it's beautiful to watch people get out of lack. Like, if you were to ask me, Paula, what's the most beautiful thing about the thing that I do right now? It's watching people transform from lack to abundance. That's by far the greatest thing that I watch, is to watch somebody wake up to I am enough.
And it's miraculous. It's miraculous, but it's not, it's simple. It may not be easy, but it's simple because you said it's a process, right? And it's something that can happen in an instant. It's something that can happen over days or weeks when you go through your process.
Yeah. But then when a person is in abundance, now vision matters. Now awareness matters. Now that the actions I'm taking matter, or the people I'm meeting matter, like all of the different components of personal development that a person learns, none of it matters if a person is stuck in lack. None of it. You can have the biggest visions in the planet. If you're stuck in lack, you'll never manifest ever. Ever.
Well, it's hard to even have those visions if you're stuck in lack, because like you said, there's limits placed on it. You don't think that they're possible, so you don't even go there.
Yeah. So here's a question I have for you, Paula. How many people do you think signed up as consultants actually sold anything and did anything in the personal development realm where you and I were at?
You mean the matrix or the consultants?
The consultants, the people that said, hey, I want to do this full time and I'm going to make millions of dollars doing this and I'm going to save millions of people and I'm going to help millions of lives.
3%.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was frustrating, right?
Yeah.
Something I will never stop doing. Right.
That frustrated me. It's like, okay, these people have desire. So Napoleon Hill.
They've got the basic information. They've got desires and they've got the basic, but there's
okay, Napoleon Hill got it wrong. Napoleon Hill, in his book, Think and Grow Rich, said that desire is the starting point of all achievement. No, abundance is the starting point of all achievement. Desire can't even come if I'm in lack.
And people say, how do I get abundance if I'm not where I want to be down the road? And that's where the gratitude comes.
Be grateful for where you are.
Yes. You know, and you said, you know, and gratitude is a word we say, and it's in our conscious mind, that 5% of our conscious mind. But you and I both teach on how to internalize that.
Yes.
And literally have it in our bodies, you know, 100% of the day. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So there's three levels that you can work through. So these are the three levels we work people through in the program. First level is what I call thinking thankfulness. And this is where most people practice gratitude. I have to be consciously aware of all the things I have in my life.
Okay? And they write it down in the morning.
They write it down.
This is
your typical gratitude journal. Okay. This is it. Like thinking thankfulness, this is the typical gratitude. I got my journal here and I'm going to write down all the things I'm thankful for and I'm going to close my journal and I'm going to put it aside. And that was my gratitude practice. That's the first level of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And research shows that a person's happiness, if they just did that, would increase between 2% and 4%. If they just did that exercise. But there's a higher level. The middle level, the second level, is when I can turn that thought of thankfulness into a feeling of appreciation. So appreciation comes from the root word appreciate, which is to increase in value or worth. So how do I take a thought or something I wrote down and increase its value? By sharing it, by speaking it, by giving it voice, giving it wings. So I think it was Melanie Beatty that said that gratitude unshared is like a gift unwrapped. A gift given unwrapped. So we've got to share it. We got to get it out. We got to vocalize it. And so it's not just writing down things I'm thankful for. It's actually sharing to God or to the universe or to the person that what you're thankful for. It's actually putting voice to it and getting that feeling behind it, not just voicing it, but getting the feeling behind it of, man, I think I've taken that for granted in the past. I'm really, really grateful for this person because I think I've taken it for granted. So that's the second level, is getting into that feeling of appreciation, which is, you know, all the experts, you look at Abraham Hicks, the vibration of appreciation is one of the highest vibrations you can get into. You look at Dr. Joe Dispenza. He said that gratitude is the ultimate state of receivership. Mm-hmm. So every expert out there is saying it, but no one's like saying that this is where you start.
Like, or teaching you to get there.
Yeah,
right?
Teaching you how to get there. So you got to get into this feeling of appreciation. And then finally, you can get to the highest level where you're acting in generosity. So I'm thinking, I'm feeling, and now I'm acting with that energy. And when I'm acting with an energy of appreciation, I'm always giving and receiving more than is expected or needed without feeling the need to give or receive something in return. I added that just a couple of months ago.
Now say that again then.
Okay. The ability, so generous, acting in generosity, generous is the ability to receive or give more than is expected or needing without feeling the need to give or receive something in return. Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So here's the kicker to that. I've had a lot of people that come up to me and they're like, Tony, I'm a very generous person. I'm like, okay, good. So let's talk about your generosity. And they're like, all right. And they tell me about all the things that they give. I give to this charity and I give to this thing and I give to this thing and I give to this thing. It's like, okay, that's awesome. That's one end of the stick of generosity. How's your other end? It's like, well, what do you mean the other end?
Receiving.
I said, can you receive that same help? No. Like I just give, I don't receive. Okay, then you're not generous. Because generous means that I can give because I come from a place of more than enough, that I can give without expecting anything in return. And because I feel that I'm more than enough, I can receive without feeling the need to give something in return to trade or compensate.
And that's because we don't feel worthy. Right?
Yes.
It's because of we also feel vulnerable when we get something from somebody else. So, and that's where the flow stops, right? There's a currency to money. There's a currency to electricity and water, and that's giving and receiving. There has to be this full currency of everything. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant that you put that down there.
Yeah. I love gratitude, and I love watching people be it, not just practice it. But they start to change the way they see the world, and they start to look in the mirror and they say, man, I am enough. And they start to look at their watch and their calendar. And even though their calendar is full of stuff, they look at their calendar and they're like, you know what? I have more than enough time, even though my calendar dictates I don't. Or they look at their bank account, even though their bank account might be negative, they still feel so blessed with the money that they do have. And so it's fascinating to me that we look at people and we're like, man, they must be so happy because they're so successful, when the opposite is actually true. They're successful because they're happy, and they're happy because they're grateful.
I love that. I love that. And you start your program out with that. I also do that, which gets them in a vibration, that frequency. Like you said, you have to start at abundance before any of this other stuff really we can internalize or change. And that's why people go to like a 3-day seminar and they leave and they're excited. And by Thursday, they forget what they're supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not in that frequency anymore. Mm-hmm. And we're in that gratitude frequency, which, you guys, it's something you just have to be aware of as many times a day as you possibly can. Then you can start manifesting the magic, right? That's when you can start putting all these other things into that. So tell us about your new program, because I know it's been out for a while, but you just did a wonderful, big, huge launch, and I was pleased to be able to listen to it. It was amazing. So tell us a little bit about that program.
Yeah. So before I share that, I want to share that I believe that there's four phases that people kind of live life through. 85% of the people, I believe, live in phase one. And phase one is lack, and I can't. That's impossible. Not me. Like, I can't build my own company. I don't have the knowledge to be able to do that. I can't, go out and afford that or buy that. Like, I can't. And so that's where most people stick, is just this idea of can't. And if they're stuck there, then ideas of can I, or like, how can I, like, those ideas can't come
right
when a person's stuck in phase one. So that's phase one. Phase two is, wait, can I? Can I open my own business? Can I make $1 million in a year? Can I do that? So they're questioning now their ability. Can I do that? And so what I created, I believe that for a person to move from I can't to can I, they need an event. They need either a webinar or an in-person event or a virtual event. So I created a 2.5-day event that moves a person from I can't to can I. Every single person that came to this last event that we did, every single one moved from I can't to can I. Every single one of them.
And it's just an awareness of the information that's out there, right?
That's it. That's all it is. And so if you've ever gone to an event, you went through this. If you went to a Tony Robbins event or a Bob Proctor event or a Paul Sheely event or a Joe Dispenza event, if you've gone to one of these events, you went from phase one to phase two, because all of them do it. They all move you from phase one to phase two. The problem is we don't, like in the marketplace, there's nothing really that moves a person from phase two to phase three, which is not can I, but how can I? How can I open my business?
That's phase three.
That's phase three. How can I make $1 million? How can I change my vibration to match the frequency of the vision that I want to manifest in my life? Like, how do I do that? That's where process and coaching and a system that's a year long comes into play. Like the event takes you from I can't to can I. It does not take you from can I to how can I.
Right.
It does not do that.
But at least it opens the door that you're thinking about.
Yes.
And once
coaching,
you do that,
though, takes you from can I to how can I.
And that is when you get thirsty and hungry. We're just talking about that in the last few months, I mean, people are starving for this information. They know there's something more. They know there's something bigger than what is going on, right?
Yes.
There's competition in every area. And so if they can just know that there is an opportunity, that there is hope to go from how can I, right? And that's what you and I both offer, that hand through the door. Yes, we can help you. And that's what your new program does.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take somebody. And then when they do that often, so we take people on a journey for a year. I don't believe that transformation happens in a day. It happens over a period of time. And I need a minimum of 1 year with a person to transform them, to take them from where they are to 10 levels higher, at least 1 year, if not longer. And, but a lot can happen in a year.
And after
1 year, my goal is to take them from phase three to phase four, which is, all right, there's no question now. I can and I will.
I've done it, right? I've done it. And that doesn't mean you have to wait a whole year working with anybody, because you get so much information, even initially, that you can start changing your life. And you see such huge leaps and changes in your life. But we're always, you know, we're either expanding or we're contracting, right? And you need somebody to help you expand to that level that you really are, your life is on, you know, on steroids at that point in time. You're really taken off.
Yeah. So the program that you talked about is a 2.5 day virtual event that we designed to just move a person from I can't to wait, can I? Mm-hmm. And we do that over a 2.5 day period, and we move people from phase one to phase two, and we are 100%. There's not one person that after the 2.5 days said, well, I'm still stuck on phase one of I can't. So we move people to at least questioning, wait, can I? And then there's options that they have beyond there, but you can't get to phase three without going through phase two.
Right.
You got to go through phase two. And that's what that event does.
And I have presented, you know, dozens of times on my own. I have gone to dozens of seminars, and I'm thinking when I started watching Tony's 2.5 days, oh my God, number one, I'm ADHD and I have to get up and walk around. But it was mesmerizing, and it is definitely worth it. And like I said, I know the information, I teach it, but you did such a wonderful job. He had amazing experts on, and I'm having those experts on my show because I love them. I had Hazel on last week. So those of you that heard Hazel, she came from Tony. But just so many inspirational stories, and it really makes you realize, how can I, right? How can I? So Tony, how can they get a hold of you, and how can they like enroll for that next one that you've got coming up?
Yeah. So we've got Facebook stuff that we do all the time. So you can follow me on Facebook, Tony Child. There's a public figure out there. You can go and look me up on Instagram. We do a lot on Instagram. So it's @TonyChild_, just all one word, @TonyChild_. And then if nothing else, just visit my website, TonyChild.com. And you can find, we've just created a brand new, beautiful website. Should be launching here in the next week or so. That'll have all of our events and programs and just anything to know about me and what we're doing. So
I love that. So Tony, if you could give our listeners one piece of advice on being alive right now and having the right attitude right now, because this is a transformational time, right? This is a pivotal time. Tell us what you would tell them, because you're telling them. Tell them.
Yeah. And it would be to practice gratitude every day. And here's the reasons why. There is so much uncertainty that's circling the globe right now. Uncertainty of a pandemic, uncertainty of election, uncertainty of, you know, job security and income, uncertainty of marriages and kids, and uncertainty regarding suicide and anxiety and depression. And there's just so much uncertainty that's circling around right now that if your brain focuses on that uncertainty, then it will go down the rabbit hole of what if, and well, what if I get COVID, and then what if I give it to my parents, and then what if they die, and then what if I'm blamed, and we can go down this what if train, and all that does is create anxiety and depression.
And more of it, law of attraction. We get more of what we put our attention to.
Yes, we get more uncertainty in our life.
Right.
So what gratitude does, see, that's what's missing from my life. That's what uncertainty is. It's what's missing. What gratitude does is it's, well, what's present?
I love that.
What do I have instead of what is missing? It's no, what do I have? And so when I start practicing gratitude, I start focusing on, well, I have this, and I have eyes that can see, and I have ears that can hear, and I have legs that can walk, and I have hands that can write. And I am so blessed in my life. And when we are in that attitude of, I have so much, we create certainty amidst uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's, if I could give any advice to anyone, it's every day, don't miss a day where you just think about, man, what do I have in my life? What am I grateful for? And if that's all you did, you'd increase your happiness, like I say, between 2-4%. And if we just imagine if we had a 2% spike in the world in happiness,
Malcolm, Malcolm Gladwell says that's the tipping point, right?
2%.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
2%.
So I teach my people, I love it. I teach my people to leave clues all over their house. You know, Atomic Habits by James Clear is one of my very favorite books. But like one of the things that I have these, I am grateful note, right? And I have them do 5 and they leave it all over their house. So whenever they see it, they take a big deep breath and they get in gratitude, because we forget, right? We're in that subconscious mind, 95% of our day we're on, you know, autopilot. So I have them leave things all over their house. So when they see it, they remember to take a big deep breath and be in gratitude. Because just doing it for 5 minutes in the morning is wonderful. But if we could do it small increments throughout the day, it changes everything. Tony, thank you so much for being on. I love you and I love your message. And it's perfect for right now, right?
Thank you.
Exactly what we need to hear.
I have been blessed to be with you, Paula, and I am excited with what you're doing. And if I can be of any benefit to you or your listeners, please, I'm happy to help in any way that I can.
Oh, I know you are, and I love you. And we were meant to do stuff together. We've known each other for years, and he is so authentic, right? You look in the dictionary, and it sees Tony says, "See Tony Childs." So he's somebody you can trust. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will be right back. And we are back. I love Tony. I hope you love Tony. He's so inspirational. He's got so much information. He's got a great story. You know, he was brave. He took that leap. And we all have small leaps, small things that we can do every day that takes us on a different path, closer to the path that we want to be on. Because if we get up and do the same thing and think the same thing and feel the same thing and look at the same lack and scarcity, we get more of that. But if we can disrupt our day and start counting our blessings and be in gratitude and start looking for abundance, because if you're grateful, you know you have an abundance of something, or you wouldn't be grateful for that. And that is a frequency, that is an energy that brings us close to source. And that's the only thing we should be worrying about right now. Nope, not even worry. That's the only thing we should be putting our concentration and our efforts on, is to get in that gratitude and get connected to source, which is going to show you the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And I'm so glad that we got to spend some time together, because we are on this journey together. And as Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home. And I'm honored and pleased to be on this journey with you. And whatever I can do to help, please reach out to me. My website, paulakidcasey.com. There's some great small little things that you can do. I've got some free 5-day trainings coming up. So get on my Facebook group, Your Success Formula, and you'll be notified of all of that. Like me on Facebook, Paula Kid Casey. I've got my book on Amazon. It is such a good primer of where to start and how to take your life to the next level based on science, based on magic, you know, and based on your spirit. So until next time, thank you so much for being with me. And I am Paula Kidd Casey, the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction radio show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.